This is a recording of Mary Beek, one of the coordinators of the Adoption Research Initiative, talking again to Beth Neal, this time about the supporting direct contact after adoption study. Beth is from the Centre for Research on the Child and Family at the University of East Anglia and led this particular research. To date, there's been very little research in the UK on how to support contact arrangements to achieve the best possible outcomes for children and their adoption networks. And this project was commissioned to begin to fill this gap.
What would you say was the most rewarding bit of this research project for you?
Well, it's just a topic that I'm completely fascinated by, so that was really interesting. I suppose one thing I found particularly interesting in this study is we looked at sibling contact arrangements, which my previous contact research had focused on adult birth relatives, parents and grandparents. So it was really nice to see some of the dynamics of these sibling contact arrangements. We had some quite big groups of siblings in the study. You know, we had one family where there were 9 siblings and we did about 6 or 7 interviews. We did interviews with grown-up siblings of adopted children. So that was just a whole new way of looking at contact for me. So I found that really interesting and fascinating.
And the challenges, what do you think was the most difficult thing?
Probably the biggest challenge was just trying to keep the child at the centre of what we were doing. Mm. And we collected a lot of data about children and young people, but we didn't collect data from children and young people. So we had to work particularly hard to keep kind of the young person's perspective at our forefront in the study, really. So that's the most challenging bit, really. Obviously, we were relying very much on adoptive parents' accounts of their children.
And if you had to choose just one key message, what would it be?
I think I'd say that you do have to take everybody's needs and feelings into account in contact. Yes, it is for the child, and the child is the most important person, but if you don't think about what's going on for the birth parent, what's going on for the adoptive parent, you won't get it right for the child. Mm. So you've got to have everybody's perspective in there, and you've got to make some tricky balances, really, between these different perspectives.
Mm. And are there messages, particularly for the family justice system, would you say?
Well, yes, I think, we were following up these contact arrangements several years. In most cases, they'd been going on for several years. But when people told us about the contact arrangements, some of the difficulties sometimes and the problems went right back to the planning stage. And I think this is where courts are involved. That I think it's important to ask questions about contact plans, to ask people to evidence what they're doing with the contact plan, just to ask why people want to do things the way they want to do things. I think as well, at the planning stage and where courts are involved, it's really tricky because you want to kind of firm things up and get an idea of what the contact's going to be. But one of our key messages is that contact is very dynamic and it can change. In most cases it will change. It needs to change because children grow up and want different things and families change. So at the planning stage, when the case is in court, you can't be too definite, really. You have to allow for these dynamics to unfold, and you have to allow for some review later on. Mm. So just try and think flexibly.
And what about for children and families social workers? What would the main message for them be?
I think that, again, you have to think long term about the contact. But you also have to take into account what's going on right now. So you have to recognise when you're making a contact plan, that, you know, you might be assessing how cooperative is this birth parent, how accepting are they of the adoption. You're seeing them at the point in time where they will be least accepting of the adoption. But they, you know, a lot of parents can change. You're not going to get the best out of them. You're not going to see the best of them at that point in time. So you have to allow for that in your planning. You're also maybe not going to see the best of adoptive parents at the time before they have a child placed with them. I think it's very normal and natural that adoptive parents are quite anxious about birth family contact. They worry about, will it get in the way of their relationship with this child that actually they may not have met yet and they haven't made a bond with. So again, a lot of adoptive parents can seem quite anxious and insecure about contact, but they might feel very differently later on. So again, I think, you know, as the child's social worker, you have to bear in mind how things might unfold in the future. And again, you have to have quite a flexible plan in mind, and it might be that some of the finer details of the contact planning need to be done after the adoption, or certainly reviewed after the adoption when the dust has settled a little bit. So I think just don't be too definite and firm about what can and can't happen.
So is that where the adoption services would come in? Are there messages for adoption services, would you say, from there?
Well, I guess they, you know, yes, adoption services could help social workers think through what the longer term perspective might be. But then, of course, the adoption service is usually, we found in most cases, they're the people implementing the contact plan after adoption. So again, I think our main messages for adoption social workers are about trying to balance everybody's needs. And I think, you know, one thing I'd really like to say about the contact is try and think of it positively. Try and think about how you can make it a pleasant event, how you can make it a happy memory, how you can make it a nice experience. And we've all got stuff we can draw on in our own lives about that. You know, if we organise a social event, we've got lots of experience. How do we make people feel comfortable? How do we help our guests get on with each other? How do we cater for the children who are going to be there? I think sometimes we treat contact meetings so clinically, and we're thinking all the time of the risks, and we're trying to control the risks, and at the end of the meeting nobody's had a nice time, nobody's felt comfortable.
And are there messages for commissioners, would you say?
Well, I think there are costs to contact support. You know, we looked at the cost of supporting contact, and it does cost money to get it right for some children. So we have to anticipate that. But I think we can be very sensitive about not everybody needs the same contact support plan. We don't have to supervise every contact arrangement, for example. Some cases will need that, some cases won't. Some cases will need the contact to be supervised or supported during the meeting for a while, and then they can move to meeting by themselves. So I think that's a way to think sensitively about cost, is to make sure we're not putting services in that people don't need, but that we are putting services in when people do need them.
Okay, and are there messages for adoptive parents, would you say, from the findings?
Yeah, I think I'd encourage adoptive parents to have their own sense of control over these arrangements. You know, once that child is adopted, that's your child. Don't feel too much that the social worker always knows best. If you have an idea about how you think contact could be done differently, what might make it feel more comfortable, don't be afraid to say that. Don't always think that the professionals are the experts. You are the expert as the parent of that child. So, you know, have confidence just to say what you think and to say what you think your child needs and to negotiate with local authorities to get that and ask for what you want.
And do you think there's room for further research in the field? What would you suggest?
I think there is. What I would like to do, actually, is to hear from adopted young people themselves, what are their experiences of supervised contact? Because mm-hmm. we heard a lot about that from the birth parents and the adopted parents. What is it like to have that social worker in the meeting? Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to hear from, you know, adopted teenagers. What do they think of having that person at their contact meeting? Mm-hmm. I think that would be a nice study.
Okay, thank you very much.